We turn now to our second scripture lesson found in the 8th chapter of Acts, reading at the 14th verse. Listen again for God's word. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." The word of the Lord. The laying on of hands has been going on among God's people for a long time. It didn't just start with a Touched by God preaching series. We read the passage in Numbers and are reminded that Moses laid hands on Joshua to confer on him the mantle of leadership of God's people. As Moses laid on the hands, it was a symbol for God's people that Joshua had been chosen, but it also in some way conveyed to Joshua the power of God that will be at work through him as he leads God's people. In similar fashion, Peter and John have been laying on hands. Their touch carries the power of God and the bestowing of the Holy Spirit, a symbolic ritual that shows forth the presence of God, but also the conveying of the power of the Holy Spirit. They are not marking the next leader of God's people, but their touch lays claim on those who seek to know and serve God. As we read these stories, we are perhaps mindful of the ritual we follow each year when we ordain ministers or ruling elders or deacons. You have seen it. Some of you have experienced it. Those being ordained kneel, and all the ruling elders and ministers come forward and lay on hands. Sometimes it looks like a mass of body over just a few kneeling there. It's a powerful experience if you're the one on whose head hands are laid. It's a symbolic gesture, noting that they have been elected and now ordained to serve, but it's also a touch that confers power. Back to our story in Acts, meet Simon. He's a believer. He's been baptized. He's been hanging out with Philip, another of the disciples. He's watching all that Philip does. He's mesmerized and amazed by what he sees. Simon perhaps appreciates more than most what these disciples are doing because he himself is a magician. He does amazing, magical things. If you go back a few verses in this same chapter of Acts, you can read about how some people thought Simon was like the disciples, that his magic was God at work. Simon does not make that claim. In fact, he recognizes that the disciples have something more. He wants what they have. He wants the power to touch, and by touching, confer God's Holy Spirit on the people. He asked Peter, "Can I buy that touch?" Sort of a franchisee, maybe. Peter, you touch all those people in your area. I'll touch all the people in my area. We'll get the Holy Spirit out there, and we can make some money on it. Simon's not really a bad guy. In fact, when Peter challenges him for wanting to buy God's power, Simon repents. I suppose he just could not help himself. He sees that power in the touch, and he wants it. He recognizes the value and thinks, I can capitalize on it. Simon does not realize the touch of God is not some bigger, better magic trick that can be packaged and sold. Notice the contrast created between Peter, Christ's disciple, who baptizes and lays on hands, and Simon, who is a magician. Astute biblical students might remember that Peter is also known as Simon Peter in other places. Maybe a little story being told to help us think of those two as maybe close in character, except that Simon is offering magic and Peter is offering the touch of God. It would not have been unusual in that time for a magician to be part of daily life. Magician doing things that amaze and cannot be explained. No doubt some thought that Jesus was a magician with all his healings and miracles, at least until his magic ran out, so to speak, and he died on the cross. Probably some thought these disciples touching people and seeing the power that came through the touch were also magicians. But they weren't. They were sharing the power of God to give new life and new hope. This past Thursday was Ascension Day. I have been assured by Lisa that you and St. Andrew know what Ascension Day is, but those of you who need to be reminded, it is the day we remember and celebrate that the resurrected Christ, who has been walking on earth with his followers, has ascended into heaven. On Ascension Day, your two ministers and two ruling elders did not ascend to heaven with Jesus, but we did go to a presbytery meeting. Cindy Rigby, professor of theology at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, preached on the Ascension, and in her sermon, she reminded us that Karl Barth, the great Reformed theologian, thought Jesus' ascension was very important. Important because it tells us that the resurrection was not temporary. It was not something that God did to show off what God can do. It was a change in how we understand the world. It was a change being offered to all of us. It revealed God's desire and power to bring about new life. That's the gift that comes with the touch. And the power of the Holy Spirit, God's power to change us and transform us. The touch of God is not magic. It is not merely a tactile experience. The touch of God empowers new life. Peter also makes clear that the touch of God is not for sale. Simon undoubtedly was not the first, nor will he be the last person to try and turn God into a pretty good business. We remember from our church history the practice of indulgences. Indulgences, at their best, were meant to be part of the response to having sin forgiven, but by the time of the Middle Ages, the buying of indulgences was little more than, hey, you want to give some money to build a cathedral? You can buy your way into heaven or buy your loved one's way into heaven. God for sale. In this area, we, of course, remember people like Robert Tilton. Remember him from TV? If you don't, if you're of the generation that doesn't remember, I bet you can YouTube and see a show of his. In the 1990s, he was in all TV markets in the United States and brought in nearly $80 million per year. And he would sell the touch of God. You could buy his handkerchief, and if it had wiped his brow and had some of his sweat, you had to pay twice as much. And with it came the promise that if you would give to God, you would surely prosper. Even as we point out the indulgences or Tilton, we have to admit that sometimes we link our giving back to God with buying God's favor. Oh, if I give enough, maybe God will smile on me. God, I really need you. Maybe if I give a little bit of extra this week. For Simon, purchasing the touch of God brings a business approach to God's power. The word translated power in verse 19 denotes the legal authority to make decisions. Simon is talking to Peter in the legal language of business and trying to apply it to the touch of God. I suspect he rightly understood there was a market then, and there will always be a market for those who desperately seek God's presence and will buy anything that might bring them God's touch. It would have been lucrative, no doubt, for Simon if he had been able to buy that ability from Peter. But God's touch is not for sale. It is a gift given by God in maddening fashion to whomever and wherever or whenever God chooses. Peter knows with certainty that he cannot sell God's touch because Peter does not control or own it. The best Peter can do is give this gift away to those who need and desire to have God present in their lives. A priceless gift because there is no price attached to it. The gift that comes free from God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Simon can have it, but he cannot buy it. You can have God's touch, but you cannot buy it. It's not for sale. The church I served in Ohio had a chapel with a center aisle, much like this sanctuary, except the chapel was much smaller. It seated about 65 people if they squeezed together closer than Presbyterians generally want to do. They had an 8:30 service every Sunday. When I arrived in their midst, they had several ushers, all men. The head usher would tell you where you could sit. He had sections for married people, young families, older folks, widows, widowers, and heaven forbid if you tried to violate and find your own seat. As time passed on and an usher lost mobility or even died, the next man up would take over ushering. Eventually, women were allowed and no one told anyone where to sit, but that's another story. About the third head usher in this succession was a man named Jim. As a young man, Jim had played catcher in professional baseball. He never made it to the majors, but had ridden buses for several years around the minor leagues and had big, gnarled hands that would be fitting for a catcher. After he left the minor leagues, he became first a high school coach. He was inducted into the high school's Hall of Fame, and then he retired from teaching and became a coach at a local community college. At his funeral, there were numerous baseball players, a couple of whom had made it to the majors. For probably 10 years, every Sunday, as I would walk up the aisle at the end of the service after the benediction, he would meet me in the aisle, not say a word, put up his fist, and give me a fist bump. We were doing fist bumps before I even knew it was cool to do a fist bump. It was a free touch. Never asked for it, just got it. Probably too dramatic to liken it to Peter's touch, but it was there every week, good sermon or bad, good hymns or bad hymns. No price to pay. Just a touch. I had never asked him why, and he never offered an explanation. I figured it was his way of offering support, of acknowledging that we were connected, of noting our common ground we shared as fellow followers of Christ. He might have just liked to give fist bumps. But every week, a free gift. And it touched me in ways beyond what that touch might mean, because every week he was there. A gift that seemed to me to be like the touch of God. As you leave worship this morning, there are baskets at the two main exits. It's a gift for each of you. It's a Presbyterian blue wristband to remind you that the touch of God, which conveys God's power to bring about new life, is a gift. There are different sizes, so you can try them on and find the one that fits. It's a free gift for you. Amen.